All right. Well, we will get started. It's 9 o'clock. We want to welcome you to our fourth session of our Mission Emphasis Weekend. If you've been with us for yesterday, you were probably challenged by what Dean had to say. We have Dean writings from Colorado Springs. His wife Kim is with us. Julie and I had the pleasure of spending some time yesterday afternoon with them. Wonderful couple. A great heart for ministry, specifically discipleship. And you may wonder, okay, what does discipleship have to do with missions? And I would say everything. It has to do, we are all missionaries. If we are believers, we have not only a responsibility and a mandate, we also have the blessing of God to be a part of each other's lives, to walk side by side. And that's the point of this weekend, is to really open up our understanding of what that means and what that looks like for our lives as a believer, for the body of Christ, to walk side by side with each other. Yesterday we talked about the biblical principles. Last night we talked about the assertiveness, the personal assertiveness, being attentive to people around us. And today we will be blessed by Dean with more challenges, and I hope we all came with open hearts and open minds to hear what he has to say. So let me open with a word of prayer, and I'll turn it over to Dean. Thank you, Lord, for this day that you've given to us. Thank you for just the blessing of being in the kingdom of God, being a child of God, working out your purpose in our lives, both individually, corporately, together. I pray that you would be with Dean today, that you would give him encouragement and the energy, empower him to speak the words you've given to him. Open our hearts and minds, as I said, to the message that he has for us, that you ultimately have for each one of us. Move us to apply this message to our lives as well. Thank you for your love, for your mercy, for your grace to us. Guide us, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, welcome. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good, good. I always like responsiveness. So it's, and this is a Sunday school class, so in Sunday school class, there's more participation, right? No heads are doing this. This means yes. This means I don't, and this is like I'm still waking up. Anyway, so I need 5 Bible readers. I have little pieces of paper. And because this is a Sunday school class and there is participation, who can commit to reading very small portions of the scripture loudly at the appropriate time in our time together? There we go. We've got 1 volunteer. We've got 2 volunteers looking for raised hands. That's good. Thank you. Raised hands indicates that I could do it. Oh, yeah. Pointing fingers indicates. So here we go. Indicates somebody else could do it. And if you had your hand raised, I'm sorry I missed you. Feel free to, when you go home today, pick your favorite scripture and read it aloud. If you wanted to read scripture aloud today. Okay, so we have been working through this booklet of materials, and if you don't have one and would like one, my lovely wife Kim has a handful. If you could raise your hand if you would like that. There we go, right over here. And in the back as well, over here. Good. Thank you, Kim. So that indicates, I know that not everyone, pardon me, not everyone was able to be with us yesterday. And I tell you, I know that this is a hard-working community, and I don't blame you at all. You had work you need to take care of, or sometimes you had rest you needed to take care of. But I understand that not everyone was able to be with us. And so I have put together this packet of material that has generally all five of our sessions together. They build on one another. And so it's in this packet, and you could actually go through it yourself. It's pretty intuitive. A lot of Bible verses, you could read them and even get an idea of filling in the blanks yourself. Or you could connect with somebody who has been here the entire time. But we're going to be filling in the blanks on sessions 4 and 5 this morning. And once again, I am I'm Dean Ridings. Kim and I have been married for 42 years. We have 4 grown children. Married off the last of our children last year. We have 3 grandchildren. The oldest of our grandchildren is 2 years old. So that tells you something about us. We are trying to figure out what empty nest looks like. Okay, so each of our sessions, I have opened up with a paragraph that reflects our theme. Our theme is how to walk side by side through everyday discipling. And here on session 4, the opening says, each Christ follower here can be a disciple who makes disciples as we practice 5 priorities involved in walking side by side through everyday discipling. In this session, you'll learn that beyond personal attentiveness, which is where we left off yesterday, is personal ministry. Here, you will get a better understanding and practice, or let me start again. Here you will, get to better understand and practice walking alongside one another, walking side by side. So we started out talking about personal godliness, and the idea in session 1 was, if we're going to be disciples who make disciples, we want to make sure we are disciples of Jesus ourselves. And we took a look at Jesus' disciple-making ministry report, the high priestly prayer, and surfaced from that ways, commitments he instilled in his disciples. And those are commitments that we as disciples would hold to as well, so that we can put ourselves in the very best position to have the Holy Spirit work in us and grow as disciples. Then we talked about, in session 2, biblical discipleship. And in that session, we talked about a pathway of discipleship. Because if you don't know where you're going, you're sure to get there. If you don't know what you're aiming at, you're sure to hit it. But if you do know what you're aiming at, a biblical view of discipleship, then you're more likely to hit it. And so we searched the scriptures and said, what did Jesus say about a discipleship, being a disciple? And he talked about a disciple is led by the Holy Spirit. A disciple gets into God's word and prays, you know, these commitments that reflect what a disciple is and what the pathway of biblical discipleship is. We talked about the kind of 4 stages of Jesus' intentional discipleship, disciple-making ministry. It starts with him and come and see, and that's when John the Baptist said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And disciples who were following John the Baptist started following Jesus. And they said, we want to know where you're staying, because it was kind of awkward. Why are you following me? And they said, we just want to know where you're staying. He said, come and see. And so there's kind of this becoming a disciple. There is an intentional pathway that Jesus took in inviting people to come alongside of them and teaching them and then leading them one step closer to a commitment to him when he said, follow me. And then he equipped them and empowered them and engaged them in ministry when he said, be with me. And then fourthly, he said, remain in me, abide in me. And that has to do with John chapter 15 when he said, I'm the vine, you are the branches. Stay vitally connected with me. So we talked about that in biblical discipleship. Then we talked about in session 3, personal attentiveness. Personal attentiveness is in general just paying attention to the people around you. If you want to make a difference for the kingdom in the lives of people around you, then pay attention to them. Get to know them. Find out what's going on in their world. Enter into authentic, even transparent relationships with them and see how God will use you. And we'll talk more about that. So I wanted to give, especially, well, those who were with us during those 3 sessions, I hope I did a general overview, kind of instilled some key points. And those who weren't with us, well, now you're up to date. Now you're up to speed. Now you could say, okay, I could enter into session 4. I know what's going on here. It's being a disciple who makes disciples. In session 2, I handed out, and you'll see in your pamphlet, in your program, your booklet, that there's a one-pager on how to walk side by side. It's as you get into this one-to-one, life-to-life type of relationship with one, with another person, what do you do? What do you do on your way up to it? What do you do during your time together, and what do you do during the week? It's like, how, practically speaking, here's how to walk side by side. So in this session, we'll be talking about the why of discipleship, kind of a little bit more about why we do what we do, and we will also talk about the how. We'll kind of get a little practical on the how. And that's why it's important for everyone to have our packet of material. Okay, so I like to tell stories from my own life and disciple-making ministry. Just to be real with you, I started out with a story saying that for 12 years, my first 12 years or so as a Christian, I was like the tree Jesus bumped into one particular time where it was really flourishing and it looked like it would have nourishing, fruitful, you know, just tasty figs on it. But as he got closer, there was no fruit on it. It was in full leaf. It looked like it should have plenty of fruit, but it was of no value to anyone. There was no substance there. So when I started out our session in session 1, I talked about that tree was me, and there was a man named Marcial who came alongside me and helped me to become a more fruitful follower of Jesus. He showed me what discipleship was all about. And it's at that time that I caught the vision of being a disciple, of going deep with the Lord and being used of God to see if he could use a guy like me to make disciples. And praise God, he has enabled me to do that. I ended our session last night with a little bit of vision casting because I want you now, as well, everyone in this room, to be thinking of a disciple-making vision. What's your personal disciple-making vision? For me, it started by saying, Lord, if you would find me faithful, I want to invest in 12 people like Jesus invested in his 12. Before I pass away, will you give me 12 disciples? And then God raised my vision when I heard other people, particularly a man named Paul Stanley, who said he had a similar type of prayer. He went down to his knees and he said, "Lord, if you could give me 300 like Gideon, 300. And that really challenged, the Lord used that to challenge me that I was thinking too small. I want to invest in the lives of people to help them become fully devoted followers of Christ as disciples so that they as well would invest in others. It's reflected in 2 Timothy 2:2 when the Apostle Paul said to Timothy, who was his beloved spiritual son, he said, "And the things you've heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to others who will also be capable or faithful to teach others." And so there are generations, and that's what I want to be about as well. Lord, help me to be a disciple, day by day by day by day, moment by moment. And help me to enable me to invest in the people around me so that they could become disciples. And then I would love to see the generations reflected in 2 Timothy 2:2. The generation of Paul and Timothy and faithful others who are capable of teaching others. You see those generations. Okay, so there was a time I was leading a group of guys, and it was called Men's 242, and it was keying off of Acts 2:42, four things that we like to see happen when we get into the church. You know, they listen to the apostles' teaching. We want to get into God's word. And they enjoyed fellowship and prayer and the breaking of bread. So I was leading this group of Men's 242, and it, praise God, it was growing 50, 75 people, 75 guys or so. But I saw that the more seasoned among us were sitting off to the side, maybe in the back, and the younger people were up closer. And I thought, you know what? We need to intermix here, because particularly God has given these seasoned people a whole lot of life experience and stories, more than they could imagine, that these younger people among them want to hear. And so I had this idea. Maybe I could get together a small group of these more seasoned men and equip them, kind of like if you think of that Jesus' intentional disciple-making pathway that I talked about. There were the come and see folks, the follow me folks, and then there's be with me in ministry. But there was a break there, is that they were following Jesus. They were growing, they were growing, they were growing, but they weren't equipped and empowered and engaged in ministry. So I thought maybe I could get a group of these more seasoned guys together. In one particular group I did this with was a guy named Vern. And Vern was knocking at the door of 80 years old. And Vern was had worked for IBM. You know, he was just a seasoned businessman. And so in the midst of this, I was talking to Elmer and Don and Vern. And it was Vern who just caught fire as I was teaching him even the same principles that I'm teaching you, just helping him to understand what Jesus said about the spiritual journey and how Jesus thought big. Matthew 24:14 says, "And the gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to every nation. And then the end will come." So Jesus thought big, and he started small with 12 disciples he invested in. And then at the beginning of John 17, he said, "It is finished." That is, the work he had done investing in these disciples had been finished, and thinking small, through them, the gospel would advance to people like us today, and then through us, so that the gospel would continue to expand, and then Jesus will return. Who's excited about the possibility of Jesus's return? Amen?
Amen.
Okay. Little bit of a test, too. So anyway, Vern just got the vision, and it was incredible how Vern couldn't get enough of the resources that that I was passing along, some of which I was writing. He wanted to know every resource he had available so that he could start walking alongside people. He and his wife retired to Florida, and he started working, being associated with the Navigators, but not really taking a salary from the Navigators, just being what we think of as a volunteer or a staff member who just doesn't need income anymore. He's retired. He had made his income, so he just exploded in ministry. Right now, today, Vern is in his 80s, and even over the past 2 days, I've been in email contact with him. He's working with a lot of churches, teaching them the same things that I taught him. There's so many people just waiting to, you know, be equipped and to be used, and I think of it as being blessed. You know, I said to these guys, you know, the younger people in our group, Men's 242, really want to hear from guys like you. Really? They really do? Yeah, you have so much to give. We do. I do. Yes, you do. You know, and so Elmer and Don, they went with it a bit, but Vern caught fire. More recently, I was teaching on the side-by-side concept, and the side-by-side concept is all about being in one-to-one, life-to-life relationships for the purposes of mutual growth, because no one's arrived. Mutual growth and mutual support and encouragement and mutual accountability that surfaces from these kind of relationships. So I was teaching on this as I was, some friends and I were unpacking what we call the Kingdom Life Journey, understanding what Jesus meant when he said, the kingdom of God is near, and the implications of that. So I was teaching on that, and there's this man named Richard, and he was knocking on the door just a couple years ago of age 80, and wondering if his best days were behind him. And he literally blocked the door from me getting out of the room, and he said, yes, he was holding on to the doorpost, how about you and I going through that side-by-side thing? So side-by-side, as you'll read about it, if you haven't already, is really just a method, a way to meet. The materials can vary, and I'll talk more about the type of materials in this particular session. The materials could vary, but the concept is you got to get into these life-to-life, one-to-one, side-by-side, authentic, vulnerable relationships, because God really uses those for eternity's sake. So I said to Richard, and I've said to others yesterday, every need isn't a personal call. There are needs being presented to each one of us every day, but it doesn't mean that that's a personal call for you, that you have to say yes to every need. But some of them are, so you pray about it. Lord, is this a personal call? And I knew when Richard was blocking the door, it was a personal call. Richard goes to a different church than I do, and so he would just come to our side-by-side meetings. He would take incredible amount of notes. He'd write everything down that God was teaching him through the scriptures as we looked at the scriptures together and as we process them together. He just wrote everything down. And the cool thing is, as you're walking in these side-by-side type relationships, my encouragement to you is, in the midst of that, start raising the vision. Who are you going to walk alongside? Who are you going to walk alongside? Who in your world is there? We'll talk a little bit more later in this session about the people around you, and we looked more closely at it last night, trying to identify the people around you, but raising that vision. And so Richard started walking alongside an elder at his church named Lester. And it was so cool to see that beyond our side-by-side, he had Les, the man Lester, Les, in his sights. And Les said, I have not gone through something like this. I want to go through this. And so from time to time, I would visit Richard at his church. He would say, that's Les. And here's who he's walking alongside now. And so, Richard, who are you walking alongside? Not to put any pressure on him, because the desire is that my vision, my passion is that I'm always in this type of relationship, because I like to say that a person without a connection is an accident waiting to happen. You may have heard that before. You may have heard that from Dallas Theological Seminary, but I think it originally comes from Howard Hendricks. But if you are not connected to others, you are an accident waiting to happen. So, Richard, who are you walking alongside? It's cool that he told me he was walking alongside a couple at his church. And I said, how did that happen? He said, well, this woman came up to Pastor Eric and said, my husband and I really don't know the Bible, and we would love for somebody to come alongside and help us to understand what it means. And the pastor said, I know exactly who you need to go to. How cool is that? That Richard was then the go-to guy, and this couple came to him, and now there he's walking side by side with this couple, but investing in them and then raising the vision of walking alongside other people. So now let's turn to, why do we do what we do? Why is discipleship important? And that's where I'm going to get my readers ready. So not yet, but the one who has Matthew 28, 16 through 20. Let me read this introduction here of what I have in session four. It says, it's important to ask ourselves, why disciple? Why disciple? In a nutshell, Jesus commanded it. Jesus commanded it. Jesus' last words before his ascension are found in each of the four Gospels and the book of Acts. These words reflect Jesus' heart. Once again, thinking big, the advance of the gospel in all the world, and starting small by investing in 12. These words reflect Jesus' heart. Notice how Jesus gave the command to preach the gospel and make disciples of all nations. Let's start with Matthew 28, 16 through 20. And he's getting there. I know what you mean. Especially when we use our devices. It's like, and then it says, do you want to recharge? What? Okay, go ahead. Matthew 28.
Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything
Amen. So I like to add starting from verse 16 because we think that after Jesus invested in the disciples, they were all up to speed. They were good to go. They were ready to hit the ground running. However, they gathered together and some doubted. That's the context of the Great Commission. In the midst of this, I want to raise this vision for you. As I've invested in you, I want you to invest in others. Go and make disciples. And then let's hear Mark chapter 16, 14 through 18. So focus in on verse 15. It's like, preach the good news to all creation. So if we're going to make disciples, it begins with the advance of the gospel. Somebody's got to preach the gospel. Somebody's got to help. You may have heard this term, preach the gospel always, and if you need to, use words. Well, I like that in that it reflects that we want to reflect Christ everywhere we go. But when it says, if you need to, use words, you need to. You need to. Use words. Use the words of the scriptures, such as what we talked about earlier, Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus, our Lord. But preach the gospel. That's how it begins. People come to know Christ, and then a lot of times they get stuck there, and it's more what we've been calling the long and winding road of discipleship, more this journey towards spiritual growth. But we can help people take a more direct path of spiritual growth, helping them understand the gospel and then grow as a disciple and then show and go. And we'll talk more about those words. Let's go to Luke 24, 44 through 49. And especially there in verse 47, thank you for reading that. Repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations. Now, for those of you who are technical about grammar, you say, you see that will be preached is used, it's the passive voice. It's not the active voice. If it were the active voice, it would say, here's the person who's preaching it. What he is saying here in context is it starts here. I shared it with you. You share it with others. That's who's doing the action. Yes, repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations. And John 20, 19 through 23.
On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked for the disciples
As the Father has sent me, so send I you. And then Acts 1, 6 through 11. Sometimes we Christians are looking up at the sky, you know, waiting for the Lord to come, and that's good. Let's encourage one another, Hebrews 10, 24 and 25, you know, as we anticipate the day of the Lord's return. But Acts 1, 8 said you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Jerusalem is like among your family, right? They were all Hebrews. Jerusalem, Judea, that's out there a bit. Those are our friends. Samaria, those were kind of not our friends in this context. And then to the ends of the earth. It's like, stop looking at the sky. Anticipate that as a Christian, Ephesians 1:13 says, when you were saved, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. So you have the Holy Spirit living in you. You are enabled to make a difference for the kingdom. You have been empowered to share the gospel. You have these charges throughout the Gospels and the book of Acts to go and make a kingdom difference and to follow up those who respond. So I'm grateful for Vonnie and the mission team who said last year in your missions emphasis, you focused on how we can make a difference in local missions. Yes, how we can make a difference. I'm so impressed with your missions effort here at Garden Community Church. And the extent to which you support missions is off the chart. So praise God for you and how you support world missions and local missions. And when you're involved in local missions, you can be used of God to help people enter the kingdom. Rescue them from the pit of hell. Wow, that's incredible. That's awesome. Forgiveness of sins is available through Jesus Christ our Lord. You can be forgiven. You could just, I've seen transformed lives that are amazing. My own brother had, actually he couldn't say no to alcohol and drugs. And he went to a church that had victory in its name, and he walked forward. He said, pray for me. I just can't say no to alcohol and drugs. And they prayed over him, and he was able from that day forward to say no to alcohol and drugs. It's amazing. And then he started speaking in King James, and he was spewing these Bible verses everywhere, and it's like, man, Eric, you've got it. And so he and his wife, Jill, would then go in to the prison, the local prison there in the San Francisco Bay Area, San Quentin Prison, and carry out a weekly Bible study. And he'd spend a day in San Francisco preaching on the street where people would spit on him and cuss him out and different things. But he said, Dean, when I look in their eyes, I know exactly where they are. It's an Apostle Paul type of transformation of his life. He couldn't say no to alcohol and drugs, and now he ministers to those who can't say no to alcohol and drugs. I've seen the transforming power of the gospel. God uses us, yeah. Just a PS to that. The following week, he goes to that same church. He hears the pastor say a single mother needs a car. He has one possession because he was living on the street. He was living in his car, and he sensed that God said, give her the car. He gave her the car. And mom calls me. I live in Colorado, and mom says, have you heard about Eric? It's like, oh, no. I thought I had such high hopes. What now? He said God told him to give away his car. Mom, if God told him to give away his car, he had to give away his car. Ha! She was pulling out her hair. But I had been preaching through the years to mom, sharing the gospel with her. I trusted Jesus as a teenager, and I wanted mom to trust Jesus. And she wouldn't and wouldn't and wouldn't until Eric said, I don't have a car. Mom, will you take me to church? Mom took him to church and trusted Jesus. I've seen transformed lives. Oh, man, in my own family, in my own life, I've seen God work. God uses us. You'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. You'll be his witnesses. And then come alongside those who respond and help them understand what they've committed to. The spiritual journey doesn't have to be a long and winding road. And how do we make it easy and inviting? I've talked yesterday about sometimes how the words we use could push people away. Like if we actually go to somebody and say, could I disciple you? According to a recent survey, only 18% of people in the church even understand what that means. So there's a whole lot of confusion. But if you say, how about you and me getting together for coffee once a week and maybe take our friendship to a different level, go through a little study together, you know, encourage one another, hold one another accountable. What do you think? Yeah, okay. It's rare that I've said that to somebody and he hasn't said, yeah, let's do it. And then Kim has said that to women. How about we just get together? Yeah, let's get together and let's take the friendship to a different level. So God uses people like us to help people enter the kingdom. Why do we do it? Jesus said it in Matthew and Mark and Luke and John and Acts. That's why this should be a priority for us. And we want to know where we're going. And so if you're following along in your notes, it says knowing where you're going. First, let's look at four distinct stages along the spiritual journey. Some people are on their way to Christ. They're in what's called the reaching stage. And so we need to be sensitive to where they are when it comes to how do I walk alongside that person at the grocery store who is a Christ follower but not a fruitful one? How do I identify where she is or he is? There's what I like to think of. I like to think of these words as know, grow, show, and go. Because they help me think. They rhyme.
so I could remember them better.
But also, they just helped me think of the spiritual journey. No, that's the reaching stage. I like to think of people as not yet believers. So if we're going to make disciples, we want to know where somebody is in the spiritual journey. And even a question I would ask at this time when I don't know, and I've never had anyone say, that's a stupid question, never ask me anything like that. I say, hey, we're all on a spiritual journey. Where are you? Well, you know, when I was a kid, I went to Sunday school, or, you know, I had a religious uncle or something like that. They just kind of go, or, well, I'm a Christian, or I have this coexist bumper sticker that helps me, and, you know, and things like, so, you know, you kind of get an idea. If we're all on spiritual journey, where are you? You know, I'm kind of here. Some are on the reaching stage. They're not yet believers. Some are in what I like to think of as grow or the follow-up discipling stage. They might be even spiritual infants. And it's interesting that I have seen a lot of people who are older, more seasoned in their spiritual journey, who have remained in the spiritual infant stage. So I don't say to them, you appear to be a spiritual infant. Helpful or not helpful? So, but it's like, I know where they are. I know how God could use a guy like me to support and encourage them if they are in the spiritual infancy stage. And then show, that's like Vern and that's like Richard. They had been walking with God for some time, hanging out in the church, very beloved in their churches because they are not only seasoned Christians, but seasoned givers. But also they could be making a difference beyond their financial contributions to the kingdom. Those are significant. However, just walking alongside of them help them. But some people are in that stage. And I like to help them think through, you may have heard this term, shape. You are spiritually shaped by God to make a kingdom difference. What does that mean? You have been given spiritual gifts. You have been given a unique heart. You have unique abilities. You have a personal style. And you have experiences. And Ephesians 2:20 says that you are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works prepared in advance for you. You have been given a God-given shape. You can make a kingdom difference. Sometimes it's just recognizing that. What do you need? Coming alongside of them and helping them with their need. So if you're following along in your notes, turning to page 2, it says, second, let's ask what's most needed in each stage. That is, how can we help someone in a particular stage, get this, take one step closer to Jesus? When I first heard that, I said, Lord, with every encounter I have every day, this is called vision because it's impossible. Every encounter I have every day, use me to lead people one step closer to Jesus, wherever they are in the spiritual journey. Maybe that's your takeaway. Maybe that's a prayer that you take away from this Sunday school time together. Just use me to help people go one step closer to Jesus. We talked about yesterday that discipleship is a relational process to help people become more and more like Jesus. So what's most needed. If you think about the no stage, they need to have a friend, authentic friendship. They're not a project. And that's a principle that we talked about yesterday, is that God has called us to faithfulness, not success. Faithfulness, not success. We sometimes have an opportunity to plant a seed of faith. Somebody else may come along and water that seed. Y'all know farming better than I do. And God gives the harvest. Amen? Amen. So God uses us. Sometimes we're not the entire chain. We're a link in the chain of what God is doing in somebody's life. And recognizing where they are, we can identify resources that would help them. In the reaching stage or the know stage, we want to help them know Jesus. And so our prayer, that's what we could do for them. We could pray for them. And we could say, Lord, how could you use someone like me to help this person know you? How could I enter into a spiritual conversation? It could be, you know, we're all on a spiritual journey. Yeah, you asked that yesterday and the day before. Okay, Lord, give me a new question. You know, but, you know, hey, what's been your experience with God and stuff? I mean, it doesn't have to, it's just helping that person. And you might get to a point where that person says, well, I know that the Bible is full of contradictions, and so that's why I stay away from it. I've heard that too. And I keep studying the Bible, reading the Bible and stuff. Would you like to read part of the Bible with me and we could bump into those contradictions together? Unless you can want to point them out. Whatever it is that you, in the midst of your authentic conversation, relationship, say, Lord, I want to help this person not face eternity separated from you, but to come to know you and the forgiveness of sins and to be with you for all eternity. That's what the gospel's all about. Anyway, so it's entering into spiritual conversations. It's hoping to have an opportunity to read some scripture or come alongside. I shared my testimony that I thought I was a Christian because I actually grew up in a religious home for a while, and then we stopped going to church, so I thought I was a Christian. So when somebody said, you a Christian? Yeah. Go to church? No. So this friend came alongside and read some Bible verses to me about why it's good to go to church. Oh, well, that's good. Want me to pick you up for church? Yeah, why not? Where I trusted Jesus. And then there's the grow stage, you know. And again, somebody may have been a Christian for a while, but nobody's come alongside to help them understand what they've committed to. Sometimes we raise our hand, and maybe somebody counts our hand. We had 7 people trusting Jesus today. Woohoo! And that is exciting, and all the angels are rejoicing. And before the enemy comes in, because you may be aware of the story of the seeds and the sower, and what happens when the seeds of the gospel go on different type of soils, that there is an enemy who wants to be like a bird and come and take that seed and eat it, and the person even forgets, we were talking about what? What was that we were talking about again? Anyway, good. We have a 5-minute warning, right? Is that right? I hope so. You know, it's like, no, we're supposed to get out. Anyway, so yeah, I've been kind of modifying this for this type of group. One thing I had thought about is that we could actually do a side-by-side lesson together. It is in your packet, and so you could see what it looks like. It is using a particular resource I use in the grow stage. So you'll see the lesson. It's called Discipleship. And in 30 discipleship exercises, they're all 2-page lessons. And I am going to work with Vonnie to get you copies of this book. So if you want to walk side by side with somebody, you will have copies of this book that you could go through and help somebody else go through. And for the men among us, I have 30 copies of this, and I'm going to leave them here, so we could leave that stack out on the table. Or men, take two copies by faith and say, I am going to one day, if I don't know the person I want to walk alongside, one day I am going to use this to walk alongside in a side-by-side relationship. It's called Strength. It's book one of the Mighty Men of Valor series that friends and I co-wrote. So there are 10 lessons, and side-by-side is built right in. It's baked into the product. Anyway, so what do people need? They need an essential resource in the growth stage, like Strength, Courage, and Passion, the Mighty Man of Valor series, or 30 discipleship exercises. I have been using 30 discipleship exercises since 1987, and God is so gracious. And then there's people in the show stage. What do they need? We talked about the with me principle, about how Jesus walked alongside the disciples and he equipped them. And that's more getting into the deeper stuff. On the book table back there, we have the Navigators 2:7 series. It takes off of Colossians 2:7, growing strong in God's word, deepening your roots in God's family, and bearing fruit. These are excellent resources to help somebody in the grow toward equipping stage, as is the Design for Discipleship series. And this is one of 7 books in the series. These are good for small groups and can be used and have been used in one-to-one. I brought 10 copies of a resource friends and I wrote called The Kingdom Life Journey. I'm leaving them here. I want you to take them. And when they're gone, all these resources are in your library as well. But these are people in the grow and show stage. And finally, the go stage. And as we're getting ready to go out of Sunday school, how about a segue like that? That's good. No, anyway, I'm sorry. What do they need? They need something like the ways of the alongsider. The first way of the alongsider, of walking alongside, walking side by side, it's called the way of the amateur. That means that your pastor, the paid professional, he doesn't have to do all the work. The way of the amateur is God could use a woman like you, a man like you, to make a kingdom difference by walking across the street and just sharing the gospel. This resource equips you to do that. We have a resource table out there. Nothing's for sale. If it's got a stack, that means you could take that stack there free. If it's got a library card in it, that means it's part of your library. So these are things that I wanted to help you understand, that as you work through the process, I'm getting there, as you understand discipleship, understand being a disciple, and then commit as the Lord gives you vision to being a disciple who makes a disciple just through the everyday practice of walking side by side. Let me close in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for this Sunday school time and what you brought. And it may not even be in the notes here. It may be one of those extra things like shape. Whatever it was, Heavenly Father, thank you that you're bringing down home to each of us what we needed to hear. In Jesus' name, amen.